Would you turn to Isaiah chapter 16? Isaiah chapter 16. Isaiah, in this section, is proclaiming judgment against various nations, which typically happened at that time through the nation of Assyria. And the Assyrian Empire rose, and God used it as a stick with which to beat the nations, including Israel and Judah, though Assyria would herself be judged. And Isaiah chapter 16 considers Moab. Verse 1, send a lamb to the ruler of the land, from Selah to the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be as a wandering bird thrown out of the nest. So shall be the daughters of Moab at the fords of the Arnon. Take counsel. Execute judgment. Make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day. Hide the outcasts. Do not betray him who escapes. Let my outcasts dwell with you, O Moab. Be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end. Devastation ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. I'll just pause there. It's actually quite a difficult passage to interpret. It's not clear who is being spoken to and about whom. But what we do know is that judgment is coming to Moab. And this idea of sending a lamb to the ruler is often what ancient rulers did when they were paying tribute to one greater. And here we have the humiliation of Moab. She is going to send a lamb. We get the imagery in verse 2 of a wandering bird thrown out of the nest. So shall the daughters of Moab at the fords of the Arnon. Moab is being thrown out of Moab. And then there is a plea in verses 3 to 4 for these refugees. Possibly that Moab takes in refugees from Israel, or that Israel looks after refugees from Moab. There is, of course, a common enemy in the people of Assyria. And one of the difficulties of war, of course, is that civilian people end up being kicked out of their own land. I've never been a refugee. I would rather not ever become one. And we know we've had a number of refugees come to our nation over the past few years, and I'm afraid it's nothing new. There were refugees back then, there are refugees now. And when it's referring to the extortioner, I think it's referring to Assyria. So here we have what appears to be yet another poetic treatment of another nation judged by God. Destruction is coming, refugees will be created. And then we come to one of the most wonderful verses in the Bible. And that's verse 5. In mercy, the throne shall be established. And one will sit on it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness. Now, that's a strange verse. It's a wonderful verse. Now, we Christians can look at that and say, well, we know who that one is. And yet, it comes in the middle of a poetic judgment on Moab. Well, what has this ruler got to do with Moab? Moab, the Moabites, of course, were related to Israel, but they were not Israel. And here we have a wonderful promise of the coming Messiah, but in the middle of judgment, and in the middle of a judgment upon a pagan people. Why is that? Because this king came to save pagan people. Of course, first of all, he came to his own. But he also came for people who did not know him, who did not have the law, who did not know of the prophecies about him. The Moabites, in one respect, were quite an immoral people. You know, you do a search of Moab in the Old Testament, and they do engage in a great deal of moral wickedness. But it was for such ones that the Messiah came. He came to seek and save the lost. He is a physician who came to the sick. He's a shepherd who came for the lost. So among this, I was going to say beautiful, it's beautiful in a way, this beautiful kind of description of the judgment upon Moab, we get a wonderful glimmer of the Lord Jesus. And first of all, it says, in mercy. Now, we know that Isaiah is talking about judgment. And yet, even within this judgment of God, there is the hope of mercy. And the mercy is connected to the establishment of a throne. A throne is one who rules. Now, Moab and Israel and Philistia and all the other nations that have been mentioned so far are trembling under the oppression of Assyria. The Assyrian king has a throne. But they know no mercy. Now, we know, of course, it would be great to be preaching on Jonah. We know, in fact, God also offers mercy to Assyria. But right now, they are the oppressor. And in spite of all their hatred and their violence and the horrors of Assyrian invasion, Isaiah beholds a glimpse of another type of king. Not just a king who enslaves and maims and humiliates, but a king who's merciful. For those of us who are sinful, a merciful king is a most appealing prospect. Furthermore, this one will sit on it in truth. He and his reign will be characterized by truth, not empty promises, not vain boasting. He will always tell the truth. Why? Because he is the truth. There are some things that the Lord cannot do. Lying is one of them. He will sit on a throne established in mercy. He will sit on it in truth, in the tabernacle of David. He will be of David. He will be like David, but better than David. He might be merciful, but he won't be a pushover. He will judge, and he will seek justice. He will hasten righteousness. The Lord Jesus is a very merciful King. But we can't take him for granted or keep taking advantage of his mercy. He was the lamb that was slain, but he's also the lion of the tribe of Judah. Some of you may have seen a lion. It was probably behind bars. I've seen one in the wild. They're scary. He will judge. He will seek justice. What is fair? What is right? What is proper? He will hasten righteousness. So Moab in particular, but all the nations of that region are being subject to a most unrighteous empire. Violent and oppressive. And yet it's during that vision, that revelation of the consequences of Assyrian rule, that Isaiah snatches, as it were, the vision of the coming king. And in one respect, he's very different to the kings of Assyria. Now, we, of course, living in this New Testament age, look back and know that he came And yet we're also looking forward to that event when he will come. And this prophecy, this simple one-verse prophecy, in one sense, has already been fulfilled. He is reigning from his throne now, and he's reigning in our lives, he is reigning among his people, but the day is coming when he will reign physically, visibly, on the earth, and we are, of course, between those two comings. So in another respect, the judging and the seeking justice, in one respect, that has still to come. And we are looking forward to that day when the one who sits in truth, the one whose throne is established in mercy, the one who seeks what is fair and right and proper, will not just reign in our lives and, God willing, in our church, but reign without any opposition, without any ignorance, but physically and visibly on the earth. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.